Good morning again. Let's take our Bibles together and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Yes, beloved, I am going to finish Colossians, but not today. I'm very close. So it has been a joyful study and journey together with the Lord and with you through this great letter of Colossians. And all that God gives in His Word. Those of you who are regulars here, part of the body, you remember that we've been enjoying Paul's closing commendations about those faithful brothers, who were gospel laborers with him. Paul did not labor in the gospel alone. God gave him incredible brothers and supporters, helpers, faithful, threaded men, and some sisters in their own way in the faith. And these are men that we should remember and be thankful for. That's been my focus the last 4 or 5 times, is to, as we finish Paul's letter, and we hear his part about these men and their significant place in the gospel labor to him and in the kingdom. Tychicus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, each of these men set apart by the Holy Spirit and ones that we can learn from. They're not just historic figures. Their testimony, their lives live and teach us today. So today we come to Luke, the beloved physician. I think there's only 2 Lukes in the room today in terms of names here. One in this section and one in this section. And I love them both. The little one over here is my grandson. So he's the littlest, and maybe one day he'll get to hear his pops speak these things about the incredible man Luke and the name that he carries. So look with me at chapter 4, verse 14. Very short. Let me read it and then I'll pray. Paul, in this closing recognition of these dear men, says now about Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Luke, the beloved physician. Let's pray briefly. Father, we rejoice that you have given such men, such saints in the centuries of old, there in that day with Luke and those men, and today in the earth, you have your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are today building a kingdom that stands forever. You have your gospel going forth. The glory of Jesus Christ is being preached and heard today throughout the world in unique places, places of conflict and places of peace that the gospel sounds for. We thank you for what we can learn from Luke here. Help us, Lord. Give us understanding. Give us joy in your word to receive it and to go forth being stirred by his life. All glory to the Lamb. Thank you. Amen. Last year, about this time, a full-length movie came out about the Apostle Paul. Some of y'all remember that. And Brother Mac beat me to it. He saw it before I did it. That's like Mac. He likes to do that to me. But when he called me and wanted to comment on it, he said, Philip, one of the things that struck me was the portrayal in the movie about Paul in his imprisonment and Luke and the bond that they had. He said that was probably a pretty accurate picture of that love and that closeness that Paul and Luke had. Once I saw the movie a week or two later, I agreed. I agreed with him. I think the picture there and what they were attempting to portray was pretty solid, was probably a very good representation of their bond. Luke, man of God, in this New Testament that we open and read about, or read his letters, read his writings, Luke was truly a tremendous man that God used. Christ set him apart, and he had the Holy Spirit with him, and we probably just don't pause very often to think about it, this man Luke. We rejoice in his labor and what we have, but yet we don't probably spend much time. I mean, there's less than 20 words of narrative about his life. less than 20 words in the New Testament about the man Luke. That's amazing. Epaphras, I said last time, had almost 100. So Epaphras has even more narrative, but not much. So there's not much said about Luke in a narrative sense. But yet, let me ask you, you understand when I hold this up, particularly the New Testament, you understand who wrote almost 25% of the content of the New Testament? Luke. Luke did. He wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And if you add those up in terms of just total volume, it's almost a fourth of the New Testament. So he was a mighty instrument of Christ Jesus in the kingdom. And we owe so much to God and thanks into what we receive from him even today. What a servant of Christ. Consider this. Luke was probably as close of a companion to the Apostle Paul that Paul ever had in this life. You can debate that. Paul had many close ones. But Luke was such a companion of his through so many phases, so many chapters of things happening in Paul's life. So that's worth noting. We're going to see Luke, meet Luke in the eternal kingdom of God one day, and we can perhaps even get more of an insight into that closeness. But we should stop. It's good for us to stop and ponder the ramifications of the Lord Jesus Christ setting this man Luke apart for a significant ministry. It will help you. It will help all of us. Just like as we've done with these other men, we can take things away. We can be stirred and helped. It's in a sense, what I'm trying to do is almost what the Hebrew writer is doing in chapter 11. Telling us about the men and the women of faith and how their lives should stir us and impact us. And I want that to happen today for you and I as we think about Luke. If somebody was to ask you this afternoon, or maybe this morning before you got here, I've been reading about this guy Luke and what he wrote and all. Can you tell me about him and some of the major aspects of his life? What he did? What his gospel labor was like? And you might say, I can't tell you a whole lot. But after today, hopefully there'll be some key things about his life that all of us will receive and hang on to and rejoice in. And you can answer that next time somebody asks you. Here's a few things about the man, Luke, and what Christ used him for. Let me give some historic brief points about this man, Luke. He's only mentioned three times in the New Testament, and they are very quick snapshots. He's mentioned here in Colossians, chapter 4, Luke, the beloved physician. He's mentioned a few pages later in Philemon, where Paul, in greeting others, extending statements about other men, he says Luke was one of his fellow laborers. He says that in Philemon 24, and in 2 Timothy, the last reference that we have to Luke, he says only Luke is with me. Wow, that's a statement. Only Luke is with me. So, beloved, we have really minimal text about him in terms of narrative about his life, what he was doing per se, or things that others were saying about him. Very little. However, the limitation of that certainly by no means represents the significance of what he was in the middle of or part of in day-to-day first century gospel advancement with Paul and others. That is what's, in one sense, incalculable to us of what Luke was a part of. Sometimes there's people behind the scenes, or sometimes things happen bigger out there that we don't even get a glimpse of, the laborers that are part of it. And in a sense, Luke is one of those men. We read about things he wrote about, we read his writings all the time, every day, every week, and yet we don't think about the man, the vessel. Luke wrote the third gospel. He addressed it to Theophilus. He addressed the book of Acts to Theophilus. We don't know anything about Theophilus. But we see the common denominator there that Luke was this writer who wrote a gospel to capture or to put in a historic record Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, one of the gospel writers. He was set apart to write that gospel. It is estimated that Luke wrote that around 62 A.D., early 60s A.D., Now, what's interesting, beloved, when we're thinking about time period with Luke, is that he was probably with Mark in Rome at a similar time when Paul was in Rome. Mark, the gospel writer. Stay with me here for a second. Think about this. Luke writes his gospel in 62. It's considered by most biblical historians that Mark wrote his gospel in the late 50s AD. Interesting. So here's Mark with Luke and with Paul together. This is a very likely this happened. And Luke writes his gospel, is going to be writing his gospel. Who does he talk to? Very likely that he visited with Mark. That Mark was a resource that he drew from in his writing of the Gospel of Luke. And can you imagine the conversation between Paul and Mark and Luke? You talk about staggering the thought of that. These men of the New Testament are men that were had the power of the Holy Spirit with them, and they were writing by the Holy Spirit's leading and illumination. They were writing these books. Incredible. Consider this. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And of course, that is a massive historic record of from Christ all the way through the explosion of the gospel going forth throughout the world, as the Bible would say, city to city. And Luke is the writer of that historic record. We have over 100 references to the word we, pronoun we, in the narrative, which is Luke saying we. I was a part of it. Also, you have us, and you have other language, words that are used there that explain or let us realize that Luke is the writer and he is in this. He's part of what's happening in that incredible book of Acts. Now, beloved, consider writing the Gospel of Luke, writing the book of Acts, consider the amount of hours that he had the presence, the reality of the Holy Spirit. To write that much. It's just an amazing thought that Luke had that communion with Christ through the Holy Spirit in his writing and what he was putting on pen to paper, right? You know, dip and scratch, as Piper would say, dip and scratch and writing, and God's giving him these truths in the gospel and then eventually in the book of Acts. Probably written pretty closely in terms of time period. Amazing to think about that. So that's worth reflecting on in his life. He was trained as a physician. Luke was trained. He was Gentile, most likely in his birth. He was not Jewish. That would be the common opinion. He was Gentile. He was trained as a physician, a very gifted physician, but he was called of God to be an evangelist. He was trained of men to help men in their physical body. He was called of the Holy Spirit to help men in their spiritual soul, in their inner man. In a sense, he was like the Lord Jesus Christ. What about healing, helping people, and rescuing people in their souls? Luke had a similar ministry. Amazing that the grace of Jesus Christ had appointed him for that labor, physically and the spiritual man. He was a noteworthy man to the churches, to the other Christians. So those are just a few very brief notes about Luke, about his background. I know that's limited, but it's overwhelming when you think about it as a writer, as a man who was used so mightily in the New Testament days. But that's not it. That's just a brief snapshot of some history. What are the distinctives of this man Luke as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are distinctives? What can we draw from the limited text and the whole of the New Testament? What do we see and draw from and think about with Luke? How does it change us? Beloved, I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to let this come and sink in for you, you men, you women. I want to mention five things and then I'll close with some brief application. First, as a servant of Jesus Christ, Luke had giftings like Paul. We might not even think about that. As a servant of Jesus Christ, set apart by the birth of the Holy Spirit and set apart, he had giftings like the Apostle Paul. Therefore, his impact in the kingdom of God going forward were like Paul's. Here's an example. Like Paul, Luke was highly educated, and he was a brilliant writer. That's significant. He was prepared in his training as a young man and prepared for what was ahead, and God was the author of all of it. He was being prepared in his education for what was ahead in gospel labor and writing and recording and pulling this together by the power of God leading him in writing. A large portion of the New Testament, as I've already said, it's got his signature on it. No pun intended. It's got his mark. It's got his life. It's got his heart poured into it. Like Paul, who wrote so many of the letters in the New Testament. Another way he was like Paul. Luke was big-hearted and kingdom-minded. You can stop at any time and just write some notes to yourself. Am I big-hearted? Am I kingdom-minded? Ask that to yourself. Ask and think on these things as I go through it. Paul was big-hearted, meaning he had such a heart for people. And he had such a kingdom vision of what he was about, who he was in Christ. And so Luke had this same mark on his life. He not only wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a part of preaching or advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, written and living. What about us? What do we do that we write or we are living about that has gospel proclamation to it? Paul was big-hearted. Luke was big-hearted. And they were kingdom-minded. They spent their lives for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And another aspect, and Luke's giftings like the Apostle Paul. Luke was sympathetic and devoted to the Christian community, just like Paul. Sympathetic, compassionate. He was given, he cared, he loved for the people of God. He was devoted to the Christian community, near and far. His life, as we see, particularly as we go through the book of Acts and where he journeyed with Paul and others, he was caring for and helping Christians in so many different situations. Amazing that his ministry probably marked hundreds and thousands of Christians. Some of the commentators that I were reading, it's just interesting their reflections, that the Christians that knew Paul probably called him the beloved physician. There was a certain different level they were referring to Luke about because how he cared for others and helped them and ministered to them in ways we could only try to imagine. So first, as a servant of Jesus Christ, Luke had giftings like Paul, and therefore we all should rejoice in what we have today from him, both in writing and in example. Second, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke was a missionary. He was a missionary. He wasn't just a scholar sitting in some building or hidden away in a cave just writing. He was out there. He was out and about. He was spending and being spent for the kingdom of God. So you're talking about a man living it. You know, these people that write these bizarre books and biographies or stories and different things. And they become just fanciful in their thinking. Luke's not trying to be fanciful. That's a Bob Jennings term, by the way. Ian probably recognizes that. That's a phrase that men would do to just try to create interest. Luke is writing out of real life experiences. You talk about living and breathing, fellowship with Christians, the gospel going forth, hostility, difficult situations. Luke was there. He was a missionary. He was a key man in advancing the gospel in the first century. And we rarely ever even think about that, do we? We think of Barnabas, and we think of Silas, and we think of John Mark, and we think of others. We think of Apollos when they met Paul, ended up with the labor or the connection he would have with Apollos. We think of different ones. We obviously think of Peter, the men of the scriptures. But Luke was a missionary. He was frequently Paul's companion in missionary journeys. Was he not? We pick this up. You kind of have to stitch it together through the book of Acts. I mean, these aren't just your everyday missionary trips. Big fancy airplanes, lots of plush accommodations. And I'm not making light of people traveling today or trying to pick on that wrongly. I'm just saying this day of missionary labor was incredibly difficult, life-threatening, exhausting, risky to say the least. And he was one of those missionaries with Paul. We pick it up the first time we really get a picture into this is the call for the Macedonian missionary labor. Remember, Paul has a vision, and he's being called from Macedonia to go. Luke's a part of that. The call comes this way. The Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. So Luke is a part of that gospel going forward. He is being equipped, brought into this labor of these men with Paul. And that's in Acts 16. You can go back and look at that. Do you remember one of their encounters along the way in laboring for the gospel? Once they arrived in Philippi, they encountered women. Do you remember some of this? This is Luke with Paul and perhaps some others. Don't know exactly the total group, if you want to put it that way, but they encountered women with the gospel. Maybe you remember the woman who traded in fine linens and purple. You remember the reference to her? Lydia. This whole encounter with Lydia and the work of the Holy Spirit, and spirit of conversion, and then it says to her household, that was a scene in the New Testament in the book of Acts where Luke was a part of it. And then just on the heels of that, you remember the young girl, the young slave girl, that had a spirit of divination. She had an unclean spirit. Luke was there with Paul. What happens there? Paul finally gets tired of it. Tired of her, that enemy, or meaning that spirit, that unclean spirit. And he turns and he rebukes the spirit, casts it out, and she's liberated. She's brought into healing. But what happens after that? You took away our moneymaker. They didn't get out of that very easily. Then there's confrontation because the men that used her for gain, monetary gain, begin to now press in. Conflict erupted from that. Luke is there. What's my point? Luke is there on the front line with Paul with the gospel. Amazing to think about this, to pause and think. When Paul writes this in the closing of Colossians, he's saying something incredibly big about this co-laborer, Luke, the beloved physician. Also, you pick it up in Acts 20, and it goes into Acts 21. And we have Paul on his towards the end of his third missionary journey. Luke accompanies him to Jerusalem. You can go back and see that. You can see those events unfold. But probably the most memorable is what? The nice, smooth sea voyage, right? No problems. Just from port to port, no problems. Hardly. Paul had already warned the captain and those men, we don't need to be sailing. He just knew. God has just revealed it to him. Luke's writing this. Luke's a part of this. Those men get on that ship knowing there's trouble coming. Michael, I don't think I'm getting on the ship. If you say, Philip, this is what's going to happen. I say, Michael, I'm staying here. I got things to do. But they aboard that ship, and here they go. And so what's their cause? Their cause is to take as curators or caregivers, caretakers of the gospel, to take it forth, and they get on that ship. And we pick it up in Acts 27 into Acts 28, and it is a dangerous, very tumultuous sea journey. Before it's over, we have chaos, men trying to throw things over, and Paul keeps saying to them, you didn't listen to me, but God will spare your life. Who wrote that for us? Luke. Who knows what Luke was saying to those same men? But he was there. He was part of it. So, beloved, I just want us to realize that he was a true missionary. He had a missionary's heart. He had an evangelistic heart. He was proclaiming, both living and proclaiming gospel truth to delirious shipmen, to barbarian islanders. When they actually finally get to an island, he's there, and that whole encounter with those barbarians occurred. And then, not very long after that, the Roman centurions, Roman leaders confronting him. That's quite a span in your evangelistic outreach, isn't it? From shipmen that are going crazy to barbarians that are, centuries past, to Roman leaders. And that was a part of Luke's labor with Paul and with others to be about the gospel going forward. Third, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke stuck by Paul. He stuck by Paul. Wonderfully so. That's what one of the great themes I want you to take away today. He not only had giftings like Paul, he not only labored as a missionary like Paul and with Paul, but he stuck by him. What a wonderful trait of this man. You remember the verse, Proverbs 17, a friend loveth at all times. Second part of that is, and a brother is born for adversity. I know I like to quote this one at times. That Proverbs 17 verse, a brother is born for adversity, is certainly true, or was certainly true, of Luke, the man that God raised up. He was there for adversity. He stuck by the Apostle Paul. As Brother Conrad Merle used to say, Luke had stickability. He stuck in there. He hung in there with Paul. We see in the last comment, right, that Paul made about Luke. Only Luke is with me there in 2 Timothy, towards the end of Paul's imprisonment in his life. He stuck with him. Again, adversity comes. Difficulty comes. Do you stick by your beloved brothers and sisters and friends in the faith? Are you all in with them? We have to apply these to ourselves. Because adversity comes. We see in Luke's life an incredible glowing quality, characteristic of him sticking by Paul. Paul had very difficult travels. We just touched on some of that. Paul faced difficult, hostile situations. Who knows if they were going to live through that day, that week? God did. They knew it. They lived under God. And Luke, with Paul, helping Paul, was there for him through prolonged imprisonments. Imprisonments. Now, we read of Christians. We read of missionaries today. We read of Christians and we hear radio addresses or we hear reports of Christians today, right now, as we speak, facing incredible hostility. And there are brothers and sisters sticking by one another. Unto death. Under very difficult situations. Beloved, that's what we're talking about here. Paul had such hard situations that he went through. God just kept him all the way. And he was injured. He was hurt. And he was treated with such evil or by evil men. And yet, Luke's there, hanging with him, being a friend, being a true brother for adversity. Think of the imprisonments. I think those of you who saw the movie that was trying to portray some of that dynamic in that time period, a biblical time period, that was a part of the key theme they were trying to show was Luke's connection to the church and to Paul, helping Paul. And so here's Paul. Yes, Luke's a key guy. You key man to him in two of his imprisonments. Here in Colossians, this is Paul's first Roman imprisonment right here that Paul's writing this letter to the Colossians. Luke's with him. He says Luke sends his greeting, sends his blessing, his word to you in Colossae. We don't really know the connection Luke would have had, but we know that he's with Paul in this time that Paul's in prison and ministering to him. And I think I've mentioned this when I've touched on some of these other men. Try to picture this in and out, going in and out, because they could come and bring certain provisions or help Paul. That was allowable at some level in what the imprisonment constraints would have been for Paul or some of the openings. And so picture Luke going in and out of prison ministering to Paul, taking food, taking medical help. Think of the fellowship, the heart-to-heart bond of Luke and Paul during those days, those weeks, those moments. And of course, Paul is wanting feedback on the Christians, on the churches, on stability, where there's difficulty. Luke's trying to give him those updates, and Luke's ministering to Paul. I mean, Luke knows here is a man set apart by Christ that is uniquely set apart for the gospel age, for the gospel age, if you want to call it that. And here's Luke ministering to him in prison. Think about our support to each other through, again, adversity, hard things. Luke gives us such a great example for us. Such an exemplary brother. Later, Paul has his second and final imprisonment, again, in Rome. And Paul's imprisonment, these would be the latter days, the latter months of his life. And we have records that Luke was with him. Luke cared for him. Luke looked after him. And I can't help but wonder, what must they have talked about in the kingdom that awaited them, the kingdom of Jesus Christ? You see, beloved, these kinds of reflections, these kinds of thoughts about these men that were a part of the labor that helps us have Colossians and these different books, they had something so real and so dynamic, so authentic, that we ought to reach forth and ask God for the same thing. We were together with the elders and the deacons were together last weekend. We need that kind of bond, that kind of closeness, that kind of power from God. We're not running a business here. We're not trying to do a kingdom of men. We're about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we need that kind of close unity and that kind of united heart to go forth and to care for each other, to minister to each other. I've told, giving y'all glimpses of some stories when Mac has gone through some medical things and I go and I be with him. Beloved, those are very intimate moments together. Very heartfelt moments. And when Mac had gone through the heart surgeries and things like that. And being there, it should be that way. Right? It should be that way. We should stick by each other. We should be fully with each other whatever comes. And you hear what I'm saying on that. So Paul had a man that stuck by him in a beautiful way through hard and difficult situations. Fourth, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke was fully devoted to gospel, to the gospel. He was a fully devoted man. This is a little bit different from the others I mentioned. He was a missionary. He had giftings like Paul. Certainly, he stuck by Paul and was a friend that was at his side throughout so much. But I'm talking about Luke standalone as a fully devoted man of God, a man of Christ Jesus. Stands on his own, raised up for the glory of God, and lived and died in that calling. He was devoted. You know the way to say it. Just remarkably devoted. He was fully devoted to Paul. I've already been touching on that. Through thick and thin. His devotion, his commitment, his heart of just being surrendered to the labor that he was called to was so evident. And with Paul being probably the primary man that felt it. But it didn't, not just there. He was fully devoted to advancing the gospel. Luke, he was fully devoted. He didn't, like I said, he didn't just write, but he lived it. He walked in it. He had the writings and he had the living testimony. So he had a written testimony of his devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he had a living, active faith. He was seen. He was being seen by people. He was being seen by leaders and desperate men and women and people from all over. That he was devoted. He had a singular focus about the kingdom of Christ. And therefore, it just leaps off the page if we think about this man and what he was used for. Such a devotion. Well, ultimately, his devotion, he was fully devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate focus, right? The Christian life has one great one in it, Christ. He is the preeminent one. So Luke, yes, he was faithful to Paul. Yes, he was devoted to advancing the gospel, but it all focused on the majesty, the man Christ Jesus. That's who it focused on. Everything that he was about, everything that's left behind, exalts the Lamb of God. I mean, that's the common denominator of these men. That's the common denominator of John the Baptist or Peter or any of the men. They lived and set forth proclaiming Christ to their generation. And it is should knock us back, the reality of that. How did they live? How do you and I live? What are we about? What marks our life? What marks our love and our devotion? Where are we going? Luke was a surrendered life. I don't know what God has for that little 3.5-month-year-old. I don't know what he has. But would God raise him up for the kingdom of Christ? His years and what's ahead for him will be probably long after I'm gone. But I can hope in God for these kinds of things, and God to do it for his glory, for that life to be spent, to be surrendered, to be early in his youth, set apart by Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, do it. So Luke was a fully devoted man. Fifth, one other quality, and then I want to apply some of these things. As a servant of Jesus Christ, Luke was beloved. I mean, come on, Philip, we got to go all the way back to the beginning of this. As a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke was loved. Or if the word beloved means well-loved, I mean cherished, esteemed highly. The testimony of that man's life throughout his days and where he went was he was loved by the churches, loved by Paul. The reality of that you cannot miss. It marked him. He was such an authentic, faithful man that as Paul says in just 3 words, Luke, then he says, the beloved physician. He was so cherished by Paul. John Daly said this hundreds of years ago, it is not a small thing to be called beloved. Not a small thing at all. You can read books, hear men, go to conferences. You can be moved. You can be inspired at their intellect, at their scholarship, other things of the life. It's another thing to say, that is a beloved man. That's a vessel of Christ. It's evident that he's loved and used in so many facets of the kingdom of God. And that's, I think, what Paul's getting at here. It isn't a small thing to be called beloved. To be called beloved and hear from the Apostle Paul, that's pretty high commendation, is it not? Here's Paul, the apostle, this great man, this unique New Testament man, arguably the most significant man the last 2,000 years since Christ ascended, Paul the apostle. And he says about Luke, the beloved physician. And I don't think he's emphasizing his medical skills, by the way. You might say, I really like my doctor. He's really sharp. He's good. Paul's talking about the man. And he was marked as a physician, as I said earlier, a physician of the physical man and then called of Jesus Christ to be a physician of the soul, helping men in the gospel truths. So it's a precious title. It's a beautiful title. Paul must have loved him in an overflowing way. We can only contemplate that as we read the brief text that we have. But Paul wasn't the only one that loved Luke. Think about that. If he was beloved, he's loved by more than just Paul. I'm not the only one in this room that loves Matt Collinson or Alan Pop or these different dear men, right? David Holzman. I'm not the only one. You do too. It's fundamental to our Christian journey together, the love that is shown between Christians. And so this man, Luke, had that. He had Paul's love and esteem, but other Christians probably throughout these different cities and these different places loved him. The Colossians, wonder what they responded when they saw the letter for the first time and they saw the reference to Luke. They would have loved him, whether they had been with him or not. They would have known his life. And it would have traveled his example in terms of his care and ministry within the kingdom. So the Christians everywhere would have loved him and thought of him and held him in high esteem. But that's not all. Luke was obviously loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was beloved of Paul. He was beloved of other Christians. But it was obvious that Jesus Christ set his love upon him and set him apart. That Christ had him. He loves every Christian. Christ sets his great love for us, rescuing us, bringing us into his marvelous eternal kingdom. And he did that for Luke. And Luke was cherished or loved, set apart for that in Christ Jesus. So evident, so true when we think of the magnitude of what we're reading and taking in the New Testament, that he was a vessel that Christ loved and used mightily in his day. And it lives on. Those are five takeaways that I just wanted to touch on. But let me close and try to end this time by applying those five characteristics or five marks of his life. What do you learn? What do you learn, you brothers, you sisters, you young people? What do you take away today? What do you single men take away? What are the different ones? What do we take away? How do we get inspired or moved on in Christ from the life and reflecting on this man Luke? Because we should. Let me apply just a few things here. I've probably already been saying it. You've been hearing it. Number one, what giftings that you have, like Luke had, giftings, his training, his writing, his medical skills, whatever giftings you have, they are to be used for Jesus Christ. Whatever you have. I've said this at different times on these different reflections. They're not yours to hang on to. They're yours to lay as an offering unto Christ. If you're gifted in certain ways, and all of you have different giftings, whatever it is to be surrendered or given to Christ today and forever. Young people, whatever's ahead for you, it should be surrendered to Jesus Christ. If you're brilliant in your scholarship, if you're going to travel the world, or you're going to do different things, you're going to be here, you're going to labor as a teacher, or whatever it may be, your giftings are not yours to hang on to. They're to be spent on Christ. That is evident from the life of Luke. He probably did most of his ministry of physical care as a doctor for not a dime. Let me say that again. Hey, America, listen to this. A physician in his day did almost all of it, most likely, without getting paid a dime. Much of it, let me put it that way. Because he was not his own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify him in your body, your life, your whole, right? your giftings. This is just beautiful to think about. It's that comprehensive. I'm not my own. You're not your own. You dear sisters in the faith, whatever giftings you have, whatever it is, do it to the glory of Christ. Number two, as a Christian in your daily circles, and what I mean by that is wherever your life is moving in and out of the community around us, today, tomorrow, this week, every one of you, like Luke, traveling, a missionary, going forth, wherever your circles are, you can and will evangelize others. What you say, what you don't say, what you share, what you hand them, what you talk about, what you are about is a living sermon, should be. We just diminish at times that the day-to-day cares of the world, the responsibilities, and stop here, got to pick this up. A word in season, beloved, a word that you have is evangelistic. People are perishing. People are agonizing. People are desperate for the truth. And they don't even know it. They're lost and without hope. And here's Luke going forth with Paul. Yes, his gifting's being used, but where he's going is being used to evangelize others near and far. Beloved, think that way. Think that way. You'll read some amazing accounts through the history of the church of people having a very short conversation, and it's the turning point in somebody's life. I'm talking about as short as a brief encounter in an airport or in between meetings or whatever it may be. Your circles are appointed of God where you are. Be ready in season. Number three, as a companion to other Christians, you are to be there with them through adversity. Luke was, we should be too. As a companion to other brothers and sisters in the faith, and you, beloved, are so often when I'm reading, as I say, trying to keep up with the app, sometimes I'm trying to just hang with y'all. There's things being posted in prayer and needs, and I'll do this, I'll get that, I'll help you with this. It's a beautiful picture. It's a running tapestry of what it means to be in the Christian community. You can't get that at YMCA or the Rotary Club or whatever group out there. This is a living, active faith with a living Savior in us. He's leading us. And companions together are supporting, sticking by each other through adversity. That's a takeaway for us. Being there for each other. Sometimes it's just a small word. Sometimes it's going to be with each other or a time over the weekend, having to spend time. Whatever it may be, be ready. Be ready to give of yourself. Number four. In whatever place, I like this phrase, whatever station you're in, man, woman, whoever, in this room, whatever station you're in, be devoted to it within the context of the glory and kingdom of God. Whatever place that God has put you in, give yourself with total devotion. I'm talking about your giftings. I'm talking about specific giftings. I said that as point number one. Whatever kind of circles you're in, let your life be a living testimony, right? An evangelist in your own way. But whatever place you're called to, hang in there. Be devoted. Give of yourself. Be loyal to the cause. When you read this great about these great men of faith and women of faith through the ages, you find these helpers, these companionships they had, and they stuck by each other, and they buried each other, and they carried burdens we couldn't even comprehend, really, when you read what they went through. And you read of some of those, when you go through the biographies, you find out Christians that you would have never known if you'd not read about them, that they were helpers to Hudson Taylor and people like that. Beautiful, real pictures of biblical companionship and devotion to one another. But you, be devoted in whatever station you're in. Don't be antsy. Be just faithful right where you are. God will open the next chapter if the next chapter is to come. We just get caught up in this. Well, what's next? And I got to do this, and I've got to do this. Wait a minute here. God has you right where he has you. I'm talking about me too, beloved. I'm speaking to myself here. And number five, in your bond with each other, in our bond with each other, let it be marked that you're called beloved, that you're well-loved. Be one who gives yourself in the love of the saints, and be one that's marked by that. Let there be a testimony in your life, like Luke, that you are cherished by God's people right here, our body, but the other connections that we have. And it's not something you're trying to earn. I'm not encouraging that. It's just that there's such a real commitment you have that there's an absolute freedom of expressing love and being loved by the saints. It's a beautiful sermon for others, isn't it? It's a testimony. Christ is exalted. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have one love one to another, or one for another. So look, saints, the man Luke, the beloved physician, Paul's supporter, Paul's helper, but bigger than that, the man of Christ, the man that we learn from, the man that we should cherish, the man that today we should step back and think of God giving that kind of a man for his day, and God giving us each other for our day. Let's be about the kingdom of Christ and all that we are. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for Luke, this man that, Lord, we look into these pages in the scriptures and we hunger to know more. Lord, I have to admit, the further I got into trying to understand more of what you used him for, the more I desired to see him and to know him. Because of knowing him is knowing you, the grace of God in him. And thank you, Lord, that we can be challenged and helped. Thank you that your servants are there for us, just like the Hebrews 11 list of the saints by faith, these different ones. We can learn from them. We can run the race with patience that we're in today, looking unto Jesus. Thank you so much for the life of Luke, and that Paul, in his own way, esteemed him so highly. We can see that. Help us, Lord, in our day. Blessed be your name. Amen.